today. We've been going through the book of Acts, as you know, but it was kind of interesting, kind of brought to my attention this week about possibly doing a message on prayer. And I don't always do that, like, just because, hey, you should do a message on, you know, why you can't sit in my seat on a Sunday, you know, or something like that, or why people need to wash their cars before they come to church. Doesn't always work like that, you know, but it was something that I feel like has been kind of an ongoing theme. There's been a real, a lot of people are feeling called to really dive deep into prayer. And being as it's the week of Thanksgiving, prayer with Thanksgiving is a big deal, right? To be bringing these things towards, you know, to the Lord. I was extremely blessed by studying this. Prayer is definitely the most underutilized tool that we've been given, for sure. And it's an unbelievable thing to be able to step into. So it's coming not from a place, sometimes you feel like you go to church and the pastor's like trying to tell you things to like correct you or something, like change. This is something that's going on organically. And so that's amazing. So we want to jump on board and like stoke that fire. You know what I mean? Especially because there's a bunch of people feeling called to prayer. There's also a lot of people that I know personally, not just from here, but from other places, that are so completely in need of a supernatural touch from God. And so I feel like if that's been like on our hearts stirring, that's something you should probably pay attention to, right? So we're going to do a little topical this morning on prayer called Praying Power. If you open up your Bibles, we'll start off at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Then we will actually start with prayer, which is a good thing. I was like thinking, oh yeah, all right, here's some really good points on prayer. Did you remember to pray? Isn't that funny? Like, oh, I could teach you how to do it, but doing it yourself is the thing. That's what it's all about, right? Let's pray and we'll get started. Lord, thank you so much for this time this morning. And we do pray, Lord, that you would just expand our minds, Lord, our hearts, that we'd be able to follow you, that we wouldn't be, Lord, so stuck in this world that we can't see that you are outside and so far above it. Lord, help us to see there's two kingdoms. Lord, and help us to look to you and yours. Lord, and so we pray that you would just speak to us, Lord, by your Spirit, that you'd say what you want to say, that you'd reveal to us what you want to reveal, that we'd be able to hear it this morning. Just thank you, God, and we praise you for just you're so good to us. And God, we just want more of you. We want, if you've given it to us, we want it, Lord. So we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Chuck Smith said, the most important thing a born-again Christian can do is to pray. I said, isn't that interesting? You think, what is the most important thing? The most important thing a born-again Christian can do is pray. If you're not, it's become born-again Christian. And then revert to this, is to pray. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It was interesting. I was listening to a message on prayer. It was actually by A.W. Tozer, and he brought something to light that I didn't really notice. He says when it's talking here in verse 6, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. So he says, by prayer and supplication, which is a prayer, a kind of prayer, with thanksgiving, which is a kind of prayer. Let your requests be made known to God, which is prayer. So he's like saying, be anxious for nothing, but in everything prayer. In every way, in every single kind of gambit that you can, you know, every single angle from it, you pray. In good things, you pray. In hard things, you pray. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Prayer is really, ultimately, it's coming to the place where you're trusting God over yourself and your circumstances. Prayer is asking for an intervention in your life. Spiritual intervening to have intervention to happen before you. What's happening in your life? Saying it's beyond me. I don't know what else to do. Anxiety is absolutely rampant right now, right? With everybody's got is anxious. We've talked about it before. Everybody's got anxiety, but we find here that one of the greatest cures for anxiety is prayer. Because what does prayer really do? I mean, there's so many different elements to it. Does prayer really move God? I believe it does. Because it's pretty clear that it does. Does prayer change you? 100%. But what prayer really does is it aligns you with him. You start looking to him for your needs, for your sustenance, for your everything, right? Remember, he's our daily bread, right? Remember that song from the early 2000s, or I don't even know, This Is the Air I Breathe, right? You guys remember that one? But you get the idea of like his presence, his who he is. You are what we breathe in and what we breathe out. We have a horrible habit as Christians that we view being a Christian as an add-on to our life, an app on our phone, right? I'll pull you up whenever I need to. Usually it's if I need to correct somebody, you know, or if I'm like looking to feel better about messing up or something, you know. But the idea of being a Christian is you recognizing that I did not make the cut. I need outside help. I need somebody to help me. I'm so done. Like I feel absolutely, remember the 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm pressed. I'm you know, perplexed. I'm feeling all these things. And it's us looking to God for him to say, like, I know all of that stuff and I'm going to take you through it. I'm going to pull you right through it. So look to me. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, go to him in prayer. Appealing to someone higher than yourself. You know, like that's an easy thing for kids to understand, right? Because they know, oh, there's no food in front of me. What do? I go to my parents to get food because they have food. They are the food keepers, right? It's not hard for them to understand that principle. It's not hard for them to understand that mindset. They can go, I need something. You are the one who can give it to me. So there you go. I mentioned it before. I mention my kids a lot because I'm with them all the time. They are nothing. They're not special. They're special to us, but they are not like super, you know, they're just kids, right? But I see them all the time. And one of the things that my kids do when they pray about stuff and they have no doubting in their mind that thing is going to happen, right? We had another thing this week, one more thing this week where they were praying for it and it happened. And we're like, oh, guys, it happened. They're like, yeah, cool. And you're like, no, but wow, right? You guys, they're not as much as wowed as we are because we're just like, oh, I didn't think that was going to happen. What? Good, I guess. It was good we asked you to pray even though we didn't think that the thing we were praying for was really going to change. We did believe it this time, but sometimes you don't, right? But there's something about that child like, hey, wherever I'm at, I know I can go to you and you can fix it. You can solve it. You know, this morning I was studying, getting ready, and all of a sudden I hear Violet screaming, Mom, Mom! You know, and so I run in there and I'm like, hey, Violet, what's going on? She's like, I'm scared. And I said, of what? She's like, she didn't know. She didn't even know why she was scared. She was just scared. And so I said, it's okay. Come here. You know, so I grabbed her and immediately her problems are solved. She's like, I'm going through something. I need a parent here. She wanted mom, but she got dad. That's okay. It's better than nothing. And I came in and it was like, oh, good. Okay, cool. I got what I was looking for. I was listening to also a message. It was like kind of like a red message from Spurgeon talking about prayer and saying how one of the risks we can have as we pray is to come before the Lord with kind of like a, you know, you see it in Luke where it talks about, was it Matthew? I can't remember. But where he talks about vain repetition, where we just keep on praying the same things over and over again, just kind of coming before him. And he said, you know what? That is why a lot of people don't have joy in their prayer life. You need to come before the Lord with stuff that is heavy on your heart. Like you need to come to him. He's basically saying, come with passion. Come with like, where are you at on this? And pour it out before him. That is where relief is found, when you are in need of this supernatural touch from God, and only he can give it to you. We're born into two kingdoms, really, right? I mean, we have this kingdom, this world that we live in, and then we have his kingdom, which is higher, and we're supposed to be seeking that kingdom, right? We're looking, going to look to God. We're looking to Christ. We're looking above all of this stuff. But we live in this kingdom that has taught us so well to rely on ourselves. We believe that we are actually pretty sufficient if we were really pressed, right? As Christians, you say stuff like, you know, oh, hey, that's a good guy. Hey, no one's good, you know? Like, we get into that kind of semantics. We were talking about that earlier this week. We would say, oh, yeah, no, definitely not. And if we were to say, we're self-reliant. We don't need anybody else. We wouldn't really say that because we need Jesus. But in practice, it's so easy to become totally self-reliant. And then prayer becomes like the afterthought. Like, just maybe if none of those things work, we could pray. If we absolutely have to, like, that's the last, you know, last resort, we can ask God for help, you know, because he like made us and everything. And after we're completely exhausted and tired and have burned through every single resource we have, I guess we could ask him. And we wouldn't do that knowingly, but it happens so easily. But we believe that we're sufficient. We believe we understand things. We believe that we've got it all together. And I mean, you know, I know I do that all the time. I just see a problem and go, okay, how do we fix this problem? We need to fix it right now. Let's go. You know, like every single little detail, we could just do that and we could do this. And if I stay up for like 7 days straight, we could fix that, you know. And don't talk to anyone. Everyone stay out of my way. Like I've got stuff to do. We believe we can do it. But God set it up the way that we are going to need him. What does being anxious tell you? That you need help. What does being like tired tell you? You need help. You know what I'm saying? What does being sad tell you? You need help. You need somebody that's going to be able to pick you up and to give you this, what does it say? The peace. And this of God, which surpasses all understanding. And it will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. It is an absolute guide and teacher to say, don't do this on your own. But we figure everything out. We figure out a loophole for everything. But the problem with loopholes is they only last so long, you know? I always try and figure out ways how to fix stuff, like, on the cheap. Everything on the cheap. Like, just, you know, my dad taught me well. You know, it's like, okay, that new part costs how much? $30? No. We're going in the garage. We're going to do some modifications to make this happen. I remember my truck I used to have. My fan went out on it. And for some reason, the fan was like it was like super expensive. It was like $300 or something. And I was, that's crazy. So my dad's like, we are not spending $300 on that fan, okay? This is what we're going to do. So he goes in and he's got these buddies at the auto parts store. And he's like, oh, hey, what's a cheaper fan that we could get that would like fit into here? And so he found a Chevy Astro van fan and modified it. So this thing is modified out, new wires, everything. It was like, it ended up saving me like $150, took 7 days to do. I'm just kidding. It was like one day, right? But the funniest thing was the fan went out again. It ended up going out again. And I ended up going in and I was like about to get the new one. And my dad said, remember, that's the wrong fan. So you've got to buy the Chevy Astro fan. What year again? Oh yeah, like 97. All right, good. You know, it was like all this weird stuff. I'm guessing the reason it went out faster was because it wasn't the right part. It might have been that we were doing something that wasn't exactly on the right way to do. But wait, we saved $150 and then bought another one for $150 a couple years later. We didn't save anything at that point, right? My dad's really good at fixing stuff. I'm not throwing him under the bus. But that was like kind of the mindset. Oh, we got something we can fix that with. Sure, I don't know how to wire it, but we'll try and figure it out. I'm sure it'll work. And then the light's on fire, and you're like, oh, well, that's not exactly how you're supposed to do it. But we find little loopholes in our lives of trying to make it work and lean on this, lean on that. You know, I've shared the story before of when I broke my toe, how greatly it affected everything. My toe was broken, my big toe, my knee started hurting, my hip started hurting, my back started hurting. There's a chiropractic reason for that, isn't there? But it went all the way up the line because it was never really fixed. But what does your body do? It compensates. Because it's like, I cannot walk on you because you're screaming in pain. So what do? I roll off the ankle and I'm trying to put everything on this side. So everything's all messed up. That's the thing. In our lives, we always try and fix it the easy way before going the best way, which is actually the easy way, right? It's going to God, coming to Him, trusting in Him. I'm always blown away at how often He answers the prayers that I just took so long to ask Him. It's like, why aren't you asking me? Timothy Keller said this: to pray is to accept that we are and always will be wholly dependent on God for everything. Whoa, good news. Because that means you don't have to hold it up yourself. James 4, 1 through 6 says this: where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members, this kingdom, right? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. Man, does that sound like what it feels like to try and live this life alone without God's help? You just strive and you strive and you strive and you strive and you're exhausted and you've made everyone your enemy around you because you're trying to get what you want. He says, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever, therefore, wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think the scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but He gives more grace. Therefore, He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You know what prayer is? Prayer is a declaration and a stance or it's a way of showing that you are humble before the Lord. You're saying, I need help. How hard is that to say? I need help. It's hard to say, right? I need help, but you need help. Prayer is saying, help me. I don't know. So that's what he's saying. Like when you're humble, it's humility before God. Saying, I've tried my best to do this on my own and I can't do it and I'm tired and I've made enemies and I, you know. He says, you don't have it because you don't ask. And the reason you ask if you don't receive is because you're asking for the wrong things, right? Now, does God give us absolutely everything we want? No, He does not. But He answers prayers all the time. He's always working and speaking and answering prayer in our lives. If you're asking, if you're going to Him, if you're bringing it to Him. Spurgeon also said, he says, when you go to pray, don't go to prayer without like any idea what you're praying for, basically. He says, this is what he said. I'm not saying this isn't gospel 100%, but I thought it was very interesting. He says, if you were to somehow be able to meet the Queen of England, and you said, I have something to say to the Queen of England, and somehow you get through, okay? And you get up there and you're like, oh, I'm just going to wing it. I said I have something to say, but I'm just going to come up with something while I'm there. I think the idea is he's saying is like when you come to prayer, you're coming to prayer in a deliberate manner for a real thing. We also know it's not supposed to be vain repetitions and wordy, right? But to come before God with like real direct things that we need help and we need his intervention in our lives on. Not to look to the world, not to look to this place to solve our problems, but to look to Him because He resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. As we humble ourselves before Him, He like does it. Spurgeon said this also, prayers are heard in heaven in proportion to our faith. Little faith gets very great mercies, but great faith still greater. Isn't that interesting? God even answers us in our lack of faith. Remember this story? We did this, you know, in Acts chapter 12. I'm going to read it again because it works with that, especially like the kind of little faith part. Peter had just been thrown in prison because James had been killed, right, by Herod. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to put him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself, tie on your sandals." And so he did. And he went to him, "Put on your garments and follow me." So he went out and followed him, and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and second guard posts, they came to the iron gate which leads into the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out, went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. Supernatural, awesome, unbelievable, right? Remember the first part, it says that the church was praying for him, right? They continued to labor in prayer for him. Why? Because their friend and their leader was in prison. And it was absolutely desperate. They didn't know what else to do. So they were like, "Please help us, God. You just got, like, I don't know how you're going to do it, but you got to help us." It's not by accident that it says that first. When Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." So when they had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda, came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, "You are beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, "It is an angel." Remember, these were the people praying for a miraculous encounter from God, and they didn't believe it. They couldn't believe that it was actually happening. What exactly were you guys praying for at this moment? They said, "Oh, it must be an angel instead, since that's so much more common," right? Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them, he kept his hand with his hand to keep silent. He declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of prison, and he said, "Go tell these things to James and to the brethren," and he departed and went to another place. Then as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had become of Peter. But when Herod searched for him and did not found him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. Wow, right? I think that what's the most amazing part about that is that you have these people who are definitely know that they're desperate, right? They're looking to God to do something supernatural. God does it. It blows them away to the point where they couldn't believe it actually was happening. So it wasn't that their faith was so amazing, but they knew where to go and they were praying to God. And even their smaller faith, or I guess you could call it, it resulted in some pretty amazing results. Tim Keller also said this: prayer turns theology into experience. Isn't that interesting? You read all about all these things that these guys had, you know, these disciples had going on in their lives, and all the promises of Jesus. And then we pray to find out that they are true. Isn't that awesome? Like, to be able to pray and find out that the things that you've been saying are true actually are true. John Wesley also said in similar manner, prayer is where the action is. Are you engaged? I mean, I am not nearly as much engaged as I need to be. But one of the things that's become very clear to me is a lot of the things that seem like problems that are common to man are deeply spiritual in root. And we cannot get to the core of the spiritual stuff without the inner man being changed. And how do we see that happen? It's we pray for people. Relentlessly pray for yourself, for others, whatever the situation is, your kids, your marriage, wherever it is you're at, that you're in, it's in a rough, you got to pray through that. If you're not praying, then you're just like, you're just kind of like guessing that whatever you're doing might work. It's like trying to be an electrician without really knowing what the wires do. Wait, which color is it? I don't know. Just try one. Is that a good idea? Maybe not, right? This might work. Who knows? But we live our lives like that, right? We're like, oh, I don't know. I don't really know the spiritual answer, so maybe that'll work. You know, we've been talking about spiritual warfare, what was going on in Ephesus, right? And we know our weapons are not carnal, but they're spiritual. They're mighty for breaking down strongholds. There's nothing in your life that God can't affect greatly and change. Some of the people here are living, all of us here are living testimonies of God's amazing grace, right? You look at back to your life before Christ and you look at your life now, it's like ridiculous, right? I like cracked open, we're like moving pretty soon. And so there was like old yearbooks and I was like reading through them and I'm like, okay, so my kids can't see any of this, you know, because of like all the stuff that was being said by like my friends, you know, both, it's like all you, I feel like all you did on yearbooks. Now I'm terrified as to what I wrote in other people's yearbooks. They're going to be like, I'm going to go out and speak at like the Packing House, which is like the city, you know, where I went to school. And they're going to be like, oh, hey, check out what was actually in my yearbook that was written by the guy who's speaking today. But it was pretty wild. I was reading through it and I was like, oh, wow, don't remember any of those things. But okay. We've been changed. It's unbelievable what God's done. But let that be a lesson to you. There's nothing in your life that God can't touch. A lot of times we look to prayer to be like, oh, heal us physically. And I think that's a great reason to pray. And I think if you're sick, you should humble yourself and come up and get prayed for. Honestly, you know? I think you should write a prayer request. You know, like you could say confidential, like just keep it between this small group, whatever. We can do that if it's like a, you know, serious thing. But I think that there's a real reason for that. But there's a spiritual health that's a big deal too. And we need to be dealing with spiritual things in spiritual manners, right? How else do you do it? It's where the action is. Don't you want, to be where the action is. You want to be involved in watching God move and watching God work. What about your theology being turned into experience? That's so cool, like to think about, like theology being like lived out right in front of you. Like, wow. Ian Bounds had some quotes. I thought they were really good. The little estimate we put on prayer is evidence from the little time we give to it. Okay, so all of these things are going to be like pretty painful, okay? So we can just all go, ouch, together at the same time. Ouch, okay? We all feel... Let that one sink in, though. The little estimate we put on prayer is evidence from the little time we give to it. You know the things that are important in your life you give time to? Is that right? Like things you think are important is what you give your time to. Look, I'm a realist. I don't think, you know, especially having a family, praying like 3 hours a day is not like, it's not going to happen for right now. Or else I'd be like neglecting like my family and everybody, you know. But you've got to be in prayer, going to God and bringing these things before him. Because you know, if you believe it makes a difference, you will do it. Just like dietary, just like, you know, dietary changes, just like exercise. If you believe it's going to do something and you see results, you want to keep doing it. Because it's, how much greater is this? Here's another one. God shapes the world by prayer. The more prayer there is in the world, the better the world will be, the mightier the forces against evil. That's interesting. I I think people praying definitely is effective. It changes the climate. I believe that our church praying changes, like everybody in here, like deepening our prayer lives changes this church for the better. Not only that, I think it changes this community for the better. I know for a fact it changes you for the better and your family. But going to God and asking him to be in over everything, it puts us in relationship with God again. Back to that place where we're like, everything is between, we're just going to you with everything. Everything that's going on. Like, you're so in love. Like, we just had our 10th anniversary yesterday, Tori and I. And so we were just looking at old pictures, you know. And, you know, 10 years doesn't seem like that long ago. And then you look at the pictures and you're like, well, that was a while ago, you know. Especially, you know, I feel like for us, we look at pictures of us and then you see everybody else and you're like, wow, everyone looks so different. Like, it seemed like not long ago, but now you're like, that was a long time ago. Very different styles, very different everything. But I remember, you know, looking at those pictures brings you back to like your early dating stages and early marriage and where you just would like, you would die to hear the other person's voice on the phone, you know? You're like, hey, hi. Oh, I got through, especially when you're like not like, you haven't sealed the deal, you're not going out yet. And so you're like, oh, is she gonna call me back? I don't know, you know, that sort of a thing. So we would, as you do that, you are just dying to have this relationship, you know, to be able to talk with each other and what's going on in your day. And it seems like there's like no place you'd rather be, right? As time goes on, it gets a little harder, right? You got other things in. It's not, but that's our whole goal. That's the point, is to return to our first love. Whenever we start to lose that, to remember. And it's just like remembering what a blessing you have in your life. How much more important is it, our relationship with God, to be able to bring everything before him? And in case you forget, here's a reminder, anxiety. Here's a reminder, stress. Here's a reminder, bills. None of us are immune to that. Here's another one. Talking to men for God is a great thing, but talking to God for men is greater still. You want to see someone receive the Lord? How often do you pray for them? It's a good question. Something all of us have to ask. You want to see someone get it? You want to see someone changed? How often do you pray? How often do you look? I love this parable from Jesus. He says in Luke 11, verses 5 through 13, and he said to them, which of you have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey. I know I've read this before, but I love it, and it's been a while. I always say that because it always feels like I just did it, and for you guys, you're like, I don't even remember you reading that. I was just probably asleep right then. Anyway, so he says, a friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though, he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend. Yet, because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it will be open. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, who will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit, he says the Holy Spirit in this sense, to those who ask him? So you asking for something, there's a in here, there's like this overarching theme of persistence and desperation. Like, my people, they just came. I don't have any other place to get bread. So you're going to have to get out of your bed and get me bread. Like, I don't know what else to do. They're hungry. I know you're in bed with your kids, but you got to get up right now because I don't know what else to do. There's nowhere else to go. I can't buy bread right now. You're my friend. Help me. Come on. Nope. I'm not going to help you because I'm in bed with my kids. Please go away. No, no. Your kids will go back to sleep. I'll give you bread. I'll give you three times the bread tomorrow. Whatever. You know, you could imagine what's going on in that kind of a story. Obviously, it's a parable. But it's because of that persistence, and that, and persistence speaks of desperation. Once again, this is not vain repetition. It's, I am so desperate for you, God. I was just talking with a friend this week, actually. Actually, multiple friends this week. They're on the highs and some are on the lows, you know? But what's interesting is some of the ones that are on the highs were on the lows a couple weeks ago, you know? I had one friend he was like trying to figure out financially how everything was going to work. He just did not know what to do. They were too tight, and he's like trying to figure out every single way it could possibly work. And they were praying, and he got his son praying with him. Because it was actually going to mean that his son was potentially going to have to get out of the school he was in, and it was going to be like a pretty serious thing. And his son loves the school he's in. He's doing really well. And so he says, son, there's a chance you're not going to be able to go here anymore because we can't afford it. Everything is way too tight. And he said, his son said, okay, I'll pray. The next day, a relative somehow came into some money and out of nowhere gave him a very large check that was like covered everything like and beyond and got them completely clear and everywhere they needed to go. And he says, he says, I started bawling when I was sitting there with her. I just started bawling my eyes out. I didn't know what to do. And he says, I got to tell my son what had just happened. Yes, I've actually known about this for months. I've been praying, and I've told them our own personal stories where we've seen God do this many times. You know, personally, this church has experienced that so many times. And he was able to sit there and I was like, dude, it's around the corner, man. Like, just keep going to God with it. Like, God's going to take care of it. It's going to be awesome. One of the times I was talking to him, he went and picked up his check while he was at work, and he had gotten a raise while I was on the phone with him. And he just was like, I'm making more money. I was like, that's cool, you know? He's like, it's not enough, but it's good. And I'm like, good, all right. But he was able to, God wanted him to be in that place where he was going before him. Now, not just you and your wife dealing with it, you've brought your son into the equation. And what did your son just get to see? That God answers prayers. You think his theology was changed a little bit that day? Do you think it was affirmed? Here's the thing, like, when we pray, no, there's no fake phonies around, right? Because where does prayer happen? He says, when I tell you, when you pray, go into your closet and pray. Don't go out, you know, Jesus says, do not go out and, you know, do it on the sides of the streets. You know, when you fast, don't act like you're dying of hunger. If you're actually dying of hunger, stop the fast and eat. You know, like, that's not spiritual. That's, like, weird. You know, don't do that. You know, if you're just hungry, that's another thing. But you're not going to get anything out of this if you're fronting. Prayer is the ultimate, like, truth. Do you really believe? Do you really actually believe God at what he says? Do I really believe that he cares about everyone and he doesn't want anyone to suffer or anyone to be lost? Do I believe that? Do I believe that he can change man's heart? Do I believe that he can heal? Do I believe that he can restore? It's all found in how do you pray. Hudson Taylor said this. I mean, Hudson Taylor was this radical missionary, gave up his whole life to go be a missionary in China. And he said this, the prayer power has never been tried to its full capacity. If we want to see mighty wonders of divine power and grace wrought in the place of weakness, failure, and disappointment, let us answer God's standing challenge. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That's not Hudson Taylor's challenge at the end, is it? That's God's. Look to me and ask me. I personally, I've seen God do amazing, unbelievable things. I really have. And that's why, you know, I've seen a lot of friends walk away from the Lord. And that was never a possibility for me because I had already seen like too much. Like I just was like, you know, that's why I feel like I was Peter. Like, where else am I going to go? I've already seen it. Like, where am I going to run to? I know you can see me there. Like, there's nowhere to go here, you know? So I might struggle, but there's no place for me to run away to. I think there's probably a lot of people in that place where they don't know how to come back, but they also know that they can't get away because they know there's something real about it all. This is the idea. Renew your hopes and your expectation in prayer. Don't be a double-minded man, and James talks about that. Not being a double-minded man. We're thinking that like you asking for something but not believing you'll actually receive it. Like, believe it. Believe that God answers his prayers, your prayers to him. Believe that he moves and he works and he shapes. And a lot of it is going to be you, but that's because you're going to have a relationship with him. Like I've said, 10 years. A lot of you have been married like much, much longer than that. But in 10 years, I've been shaped by Tori. Tori's been shaped by me, no doubt, because of a relationship. Since I've started following Jesus in like 2000, right? Because it's been 17 years. Been major change from that, like from the beginning. I've found some of my old notes too, right? That's another fun thing. When you found your notes from when you were teaching in 2002, and you're going, whoa, why did no one stop me? There was a lot of grace there, right? Thankful for that, because it probably would have made me like want to quit. But he changes us, and prayer changes things, but it changes us too. And it's such a heavy resource that is there at our So if you're saying, if you're struggling in any area of life, how much do you pray about it? I mean, how much do you bring that before the Lord? It's funny, when I'm really struggling with something and I start praying about it, it's unbelievable. God, he really shows up. It's never like that second usually. It's usually like laboring in prayer for a while, and then afterwards you're like, oh, this was a good week. I spent time with God. And all of a sudden the thing almost like starts going away, and then all of a sudden it's answered and you're like, oh yeah, that's why I was praying in the first place. But in the meantime, you're like having this fellowship with God. That's like is the whole point. He does this to bring us and to keep us close to him. Are you anxious? Are you struggling? Are you hurting? Do you need a touch? He's got it. He's the one, he's got it. Pray to God. Come up and get prayer. Write down your prayer requests in the back. We'll pray for it. If you're going through stuff and then you're not praying for it, you're not getting prayer, you're definitely not doing what you're supposed to be doing. And expect not much of a change, right? God can change not just the outside stuff, but the inside stuff. That's huge. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the power that is in going to you, Lord. Lord, help us to trust you, Lord, and to continue to look to you till you answer, Lord, to be persistent in our seeking you. God, that we would recognize the need, that we would not like be so self-sufficient, that we wouldn't believe that we got it all together, we know everything, and we really do. We're fine, you know, it's something we can handle. But that we would go to you with everything like you designed us to. Lord, that we take away that extra wear and tear on our minds and our hearts and our bodies and just release it to you. So I pray for that, Lord, for in this church that you would inspire and stoke a fire for extra prayer in our lives, as you're already doing, Lord. And that there would be, Lord, even some here have never, maybe never been prayed for, that they know they need it. They want to look to you. They want to trust you. They want to ask you. There'd be a humbling and the pride would go away. And in so doing, you would meet them right there. That you give grace to the humble, but you resist the proud. So Lord, help us to look to you, to trust you.